Hello and welcome to another special edition of the Parkmanship Podcast. My name is Ryan. With me is Andrew. How are you going? How are you doing, Andrew?
Doing pretty good, Ryan. You know, better than I can be, so.
Nice. Well, anyways, this is a special edition of the podcast that we're doing for a pretty important week. We'll explain that later. But I just want to mention a few updates about our Parkmanship podcast. And that is, first of all, season two is going to begin in June. And we're doing in June so we can be active during the summer travel season and then get pretty close to the end of the year with that. And then additionally, our Upper Delaware Listener's Choice episode will be coming soon before that June start date of season two.
Yep. We also have been active on our new website, parkmanship.com. There's a bunch of good articles up there, mostly written by Ryan. I will have one coming out this week for celebrating this special week.
Yeah, I'm currently doing a series of blog posts about my recent trip to Virginia and all the national park sites down there that I visited, so please check that out. That's on parkmanship.com.
Yep. The news story of the week is it's National Parks Week. Every year, it celebrates from April 16th to the 24th.
I think it's a random week in April.
I think it usually coincides with
Earth Day.
Earth Day. But this week, this year, it's the April 16th to the 24th. Fun fact, the very first National Park Week took place in 1991. So, in celebration of the National Park Service 75th anniversary. Wow. Yeah. It just kind of continued since.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Anyways, this episode is going to be released on Friday, April 22nd, which is also Earth Day. And every day of National Park Week, they have a different theme. And the theme for April 22nd is Spark Action, which is a day where you're supposed to ask yourself what actions you can take to create a healthy world. So, Andrew, what are you doing to spark action?
Recently?
In general.
I carry a metal straw around, trying to use less plastic. I don't know if that's something, you know, that's a huge impact, but, you know, I'm also using more recyclable bottles. Like I have, you know, I don't bring water bottles when I hike. I bring that big old, I want to call it, it's like almost like a thermos. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I use the Nalgene bottles all the time. I love those.
Yeah. Cause you want to leave the park the way you found it and bring in a water bottle. And you know, if it falls out of your bag and rolls down a hill, it's, you know, you're not gonna climb down the hill to go get it
for sure.
All right.
Also, definitely do more. I mean, I just try to stay informed, vote for environmentally friendly politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely do more.
Yep.
All right. So that's, you got anything else about that National Parks Week, or should we move on to our main story of the week?
Let's move on to our main story of the week.
All right. For this episode, we decided to do something special for National Parks Week, and we're doing our aggregated top 10 lists of our favorite national parks that we've ever done. So I just asked Andrew to give me his top 10 list, and I combined that with my top 10 list to create the Parkmanship top 10 list. We might do this in future years to have a running history of our favorites, but it depends how many updates we do to them. Let's just start off with our number 10. Actually, we don't have number 10 because there was a tie at number 9. So, Andrew, do you want to introduce the first park on our Parkmanship top 10 list?
Yeah, it is Joshua Tree National Park. I think for me, why it falls in the top 10. I think mine was a little higher on the list than yours, but the sunset at Joshua's Tree was unreal.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Also, the scenery. I know it's like, you know, a desert, but like just where the it was so blue and like the clashing of the colors was really cool for me. So
nice. Yeah, I thought Joshua Tree was a very unique desert. Actually, it's multiple desert environments. We did get to see a lot of change in scenery. That was pretty cool. And then we did get to see a lot of different species of Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw the like the famous Joshua trees, and then we saw the I think it's called the Chala Joshua trees, the much smaller, more fuzzier ones.
Yep.
So both of those made a very interesting impact on the surroundings.
There's also the cactus garden.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the Chala cactus garden, yeah. What it was called.
Yeah.
And then there was also a lot of wildlife that we saw. Like we went to that one trail where I heard there was bighorn sheep, and we actually ended up seeing bighorn sheep there. That was pretty cool.
Yep. And
then we also saw a roadrunner going across the road at one point.
I do remember that.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, Joshua Tree doesn't make my personal top 10, but it's a pretty good pick.
Also tied for 9th, Ryan, we had another one.
Yeah, that is one we both went to, and that's Shenandoah National Park. And I rated it a bit higher than you, I think. So I was actually just at Shenandoah National Park. It was actually a little bit in the off season, but I got to stay in one of the cabins at Lewis Mountain Cabins. That was a pretty cool experience. But the reason I love Shenandoah is because it's such an accessible park. Obviously, the main feature of it is Skyline Drive. So, like, one of the main activities of the park is just sightseeing through driving. But I also love it because it has a lot of great hikes. It has Alderag. It also has a bunch of great food. Skyline Resort, I just love the chicken and biscuits that I had there once. They have great drinks. You can also eat at Big Meadows. And, yeah, I just really love the park.
Yeah, the thing that makes it in my top 10 is the Skyline Drive. I like any park that has a good drive-through sightseeing aspect to it. You know, stunning vistas over, you know, and cool overlooks. And that checked all the boxes on my list.
Yeah, definitely a lot of cool overlooks. My favorite is called The Point, which I did with you once, and that's a little past Big Meadows. It's probably the last one we went to when I went with you. But it has such a great view, and if you go away from the road and descend down a bit from the overlook, there's an even better viewing platform. But I just saw the sunset there a couple weeks ago. Pretty cool place.
Yeah.
Now we move on to number 8. And this is one I think we both rated it in the same place. So, Andrew, do you want to introduce the next one?
Yep, it is Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area in California.
Why do you?
Why is it number 8 for me? I think it's just how much I think one of the best views or hikes we did in California was there, where we got to the top of that peak.
Yeah.
And we saw the ocean from all the way up there.
Yep.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite hikes in California that I've done so far. And wasn't there a log book up there you signed?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, on top of the peak. It was a fun drive up there.
Oh, a very fun drive up there.
Yeah, because it's a ridge road. But it's very, very different at points, because the visitor center is like at the base of the mountain range.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love that road, because on the opposite side of the ridge is another cliff side on top of you, and it's always like, oh, watch out for the falling boulders.
Yep. There are a lot of cool, interesting signs on the way up to where we hiked.
Yep. But I also love the Santa Monica Mountains for the same reason. Sandstone Peak is amazing. I've done it twice now. It's a great hike. It goes through some pretty interesting terrain. At times it feels like a desert. At times it feels like the Mediterranean jungle system that it actually is a part of. And then, of course, it has great views of the Pacific Ocean. It's where I first saw the Pacific Ocean. So, yeah, I have a lot of great memories there. But there's just so much hiking, not just at Sandstone Peak. There's a bunch of canyons you can go into, a lot of oceanside. We camped right across the street from the ocean once in one of the parts in Malibu.
Yep. And
all of it is visually stunning.
Yep. All right, Ryan, let's move on to number 7. Well,
tied for six.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. So first up, tied for sixth is Appalachian National Scenic Trail. And I rated this higher than you did because this is truly one of my favorite parks. So the Appalachian Trail is my home park. It's the one closest to my home. And it's just such a great place to have a unique hiking experience. I do a lot of sunrise and sunset hikes on here, and always one of my favorite experiences to do that. I do, you know, like a 1 or 2 mile hike, or I can do like a 30 mile hike like I did once. I go hiking in winter, go hiking in like 100 degree summer days. Just so much hiking to do here, which is one of my favorite activities, and that's why it's one of my favorite parks.
Also tied for six is Dry Tortugas National Park off the coast of Key West, Florida. That was higher on my list, mostly because it's one of my favorite parks we've been to.
Yeah, so much of a favorite of yours. They just skipped the Appalachian Trail. Why you liked it?
I didn't put Appalachian Trail on my top 10 list. Mostly because I've only done such a little part of it. And I know you've done more.
So not a favorite of yours?
Not really. I mean, if I've done more of it, probably. But I've only done it like 3 or 4 times, hiking-wise.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But back to Dry Tortuga National Park. I think that falls in pretty middle of the road for me. It's getting there was a blast. Boat ride, everything. That was fun. I don't know if that was fun for you, but it was cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Well, the way there, because just to get to experience that ocean for the first time on the way, I had to go to the restroom. I was trying to hold it in, so not as much as a fun experience. Also, I was getting tired, and it's a long boat ride.
It is. I think it's like 2 hours.
It is.
But that one was fun. Once you got there, there was a lot of, you know, sightseeing. The waters were very blue, probably the most blue that I've seen in the ocean. I mean, compared to glaciers, emerald, well, are they emerald or turquoise green? Licks. That's like
turquoise, maybe?
Yeah.
They're blue. They're clear blue.
Yeah, but this water was as blue as that. But that, it was a lot of, like, you know, ocean sidewalks. If you need to cool off, you hopped in the ocean. Ryan did some snorkeling.
I didn't.
We explored the fort, which is slowly being reclaimed by rising sea levels.
Unfortunately, Fort Jefferson, it's called.
Yep. But yeah, I have a lot of good pictures from there and like good memories because it was just like such an iconic park.
Yeah, Dry Tortugas is towards the end of my top 10 list, but it's still on my top 10 list and therefore a really, really awesome park. There's a lot of history to it with Fort Jefferson being an active Civil War fort. And then the island environment is so interesting. You know, got the fort on like the main part of the island, and then off the side on like the side part of the island, you have like this very loud birding colony.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. And then off in the distance, you have that little strip of island that's a lighthouse.
Yeah. Dry Tortugas is mostly ocean, but with a bunch of small islands scattered around. But yeah, as Andrew said, I got to do some snorkeling. And that was one of my favorite experiences I've ever done in a national park. It's because you got to see so much wildlife, so many fishes of different colors. And then, of course, you got to see some coral reefs, which that's really awesome. And then, once again, the water was so clear. I would just say it's a very clear blue color. Like, I would think of turquoise as, like, glacier-fed lakes of glacier. That's what turquoise is. This was just really clear water.
Yeah. Yeah, it was super clear. All right. Ryan, what is our next park on the list?
Yeah, so tied for first park is Acadia National Park, which you have not done, Andrew, so I'm just going to
find my... Yeah, it's fine.
It's my number one park, so even though Andrew hasn't done it. And Acadia National Park is just a hiker's paradise. There's so much variety of trails to do here. You can do running ladder trails where you're hanging off the cliff while you're hiking. You can do easy beach walks, or you can do some impressive hikes to summits, where even though these mountains aren't that tall, they're all below 2,000 feet. Just because they're so close to the ocean, you get a lot of, there's not much tree vegetation, so you get to see a lot of great views in the mountains. Obviously, it's next to a bunch of great towns that you can get some great meals like Bar Harbor, or you can even eat inside the park at Jordan Pond House, which has some great food, including the famous popovers. And then you really just have to experience this park at night. It's got great skies. There's just a lot going for the park. I love it. Andrew, you should go.
Once I can, I will.
Okay.
It's on my list.
Nice.
And
also tied for fourth, I'll introduce this one as well. It is the National Mall and Memorial Parks. Washington, D.C. is just one of my favorite cities, and the National Mall and Memorial Parks encompasses a lot of the city. It's got, you know, the actual National Mall. It's got the Tidal Basin, and then it's got some other parks under its belt, well, including the Belmont Paul Women's Equality National Historic Site, which I thought was really cool. It's right next to the Supreme Court. But besides that, there's just so many great things to see here, including so much great food nearby. We have, you know, our favorite institution there, Elephant and Castle. Great food and drinks there. But yeah, there's just so much to see in such a small area. My favorite area is obviously the Tidal Basin. Just got some great monuments there, like Jefferson. You got the FDR, you got the MLK. And then you can see a pretty good sunset from the side there. So, Andrew, do you agree with me?
I do. It's a city we frequent. I mean, it is... it's not a short drive, but it's, you know, a reasonable driving distance. And it never gets old because it's always updating and changing. The National Mall, there's always something, you know, something either is under construction, so we say we come back next time, or something's being put up and we got to go see it.
Yeah, that was actually the reason for our most recent trip, because we had to see the World War One monument and the Dwight D. Eisenhower monument.
And we have to go back because the mural was not up yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to wait for another new one. Like, they're in the process of doing one for the War on Terrorism. So that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to go back.
Yep.
Right, let's move on to the next park. Tied for second, Ryan. Here we have two.
Yeah, the first of which is Cape Cod National Seashore. This is higher up in my list, and probably because of personal reasons, this is where I began my parks journey. So to speak, it's where I got my first passport stamp. It's where my family used to vacation all the time. Cape Cod National Seashore is on the forearm of where the Cape Cod arm is. If you look at Cape Cod, it looks like an arm. But anyways, this is a surprisingly diverse area for hiking, which is once again my favorite activity. You got really good beach walks like Great Island Trail, but then you can also go through a bunch of wooded walks. And then there's a lot of wildlife that I've actually seen in my time here. I've been multiple times. It's only like a 3-hour drive away from here, and I love it. But anyways, you don't think of Cape Cod as being a place to see wildlife, and yet in Cape Cod I've seen whales, I've seen seals, I've seen deer, turkeys, coyote, birds. The one thing I haven't seen, though, and I, even though I've gone out looking for them, are sharks. Went to Race Point Beach once to look for them. Didn't see any.
Unfortunate. But yeah, I have to agree with you on Cape Cod. It's up there for me. It's our, one of the very few places I visited with you. I think we went on New Year's Day in the off season, and it was just us on the beach. Yeah, I remember. It was an unreal experience.
Yeah. I forgot. Cape Cod is a great place for sunrises and sunsets.
Yeah. Yep. Going back to that beach hike, in the summer, Cape Cod is very, very busy. So seeing no one on the beach was just unreal.
For sure.
So, also, I'm going to move it to our next park here. You got anything else for Cape Cod, Ryan?
Nope. I said all I wanted to say.
All right. Second, also for second, is Everglades National Park in Florida, just outside Homestead, Florida.
Your favorite?
Sure. The favorite is not the word I would use. But Everglades is... had so much wildlife to offer and so many, again, it had a nice drive with pull-offs, like areas you could hike and get out and see wildlife and then get back in the car, stuff like that. Favorite animal I've ever seen, manatee, was there. And it was just a very, very good park, in my opinion. I don't know for you, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised Everglades made it this high on the list, but I think it's because it made both of our lists pretty high, but just not this high, and it combined to give it a great score. But yeah, I enjoy Everglades because it's pretty much the American version of a safari. There's just so much wildlife here. Like, I'm pretty much almost ran over a crocodile on a bike by accident, not a crocodile, an alligator on a bike once by accident, which have not ended well for me.
We were racing, that's why.
But that's just how many alligators there are in this park. But besides the alligators, there's multiple bird species. There's, you know, roseate spoonbills. There's anhingas. There's all types of herons. And we saw them all, so they're easily viewable. And then, of course, we saw the manatees, which was super awesome. I was hoping we'd see a manatee. I wasn't expecting it. But, yeah, that was just such a great moment when we saw a manatee.
It was also on, was it on like National Manatee Day or something like that?
Yeah, it was on National Manatee Appreciation
Day. Yeah.
Lots of that. That's like a once in a lifetime story with that we had at this park.
Yep. Unique experiences were made. The scenery drastically changes depending on where you are in the park. It could be swamp. It could be big tall grass. It could be, you know, wooded. Mangrove trees. Like, it was a very unique experience.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, Ryan, ready for number one?
I am so ready.
All right, number one on our list is our favorite, Glacier National Park. Ryan, why is Glacier your favorite?
So yeah, I knew once we were doing this episode, I knew Glacier is going to be number one. Was our recent vacation last year, but it was a great vacation. We saw so much wildlife. I was like really looking to see grizzly bears. But by like day three, it was like, oh, there's another grizzly bear. We just saw so many.
Too many bear jams.
Yeah. Actually, it was the construction jams that were more annoying.
Yeah.
The hotels that were stunning. We stayed at the Many Glacier Hotel. That was amazing.
Iconic.
What?
It's iconic.
Oh, it's definitely iconic.
Yeah.
What was the place we stayed the first night? That was also pretty awesome. Near Two Dog Flats in St. Mary's.
Oh,
it was one of the motor homes. That was awesome.
Yeah, and we stayed in the cabins in the park.
Yep, those had great views.
Yep. Watching sunset was great at those.
Yep.
The drive.
Oh, drive.
Yeah, that checked that box off for me. The going to the Sun Road.
Yep, that was a very diverse but awesome drive.
Yeah. There's so much to do there, and it was so massive. So I remember it took, what, an hour to get from one end of the going to Sun Road to the other?
That sounds about right. It might be like a tiny bit under an hour, but it was, yeah, it's a drive.
But that doesn't even include the drive to, what was the place where we got the bear claws at?
Oh, Pole Bridge.
Pole Bridge. Just another, what, a half hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much to do there.
We go back there. I really want to go to Bowman Lake, which is the backcountry beyond Pole Bridge.
Yeah, it was closed off due to fires, right?
Yeah, we were going to go. But the fire said no.
Yep.
But also, so many great hikes. My favorite being Grinnell Glacier.
Yeah, like, that's my favorite hike, yeah.
How was it to see a glacier up close and in person?
Yeah. They're set to disappear at some point in our timeline or our lifetime.
Yeah, that's scary to think about.
Yeah, so seeing one definitely checks a cool thing off my list.
For sure.
What else was... Oh, the huckleberry-flavored foods was up there for me.
Yeah.
The drinks.
The bear claw from Pole Bridge Mercantile, that was great.
The lemonades from...
Oh, the spiked lemonades, those were good, really good.
Yeah. What was the name of that lodge that's on... near at the beginning of the going to the Sun Road?
Like McDonald Lodge.
That's what it was. I would like to stay there at some point, but that place is always booked up right at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, but,
booked up early on.
Yeah. We were lucky with Many Glacier.
Very lucky.
Yeah. But yeah, that's in my... That takes the top of the spot for this year's National Parks Week.
Yeah, pretty awesome list.
Yeah. Any closing remarks, Ryan?
I just want to say happy National Park Week, everyone. We will definitely see you in June and probably earlier for the Listener's Choice episode. And check out parkmanship.com to read some great content that we'll be doing between now and then.
Yep. Once again, this is Parkmanship. My name's Andrew.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Parkmanship.